Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello. It's the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. I'm Johnny Burrow, and I love this show because it gives me an opportunity to take you through the biggest deals of the day, the biggest rumours as well, and cut through the noise to try and determine which deals actually might happen. But it's a special edition of the Transfer Rumour Mill tonight because, frankly, I am still shocked. I'm still in awe by what I witnessed earlier from Corey Goff. She's 15 years old. Coco Goff, the nickname goes, of course. 15 years old. Only qualified for Wimbledon through a wild card. 303rd in the world. You think, okay, I'm on the biggest stage in world tennis. This is the biggest match of my career, the biggest conceivable platform on national, international television with a crowd of hundreds of thousands. Now, you can approach that in two ways. If you're like me, you're a coward and you're bad at tennis, you think, give me someone rubbish, let me lose quietly or win quietly and we'll just get this out of the way, I'm nervous. If you've got the kind of elite mentality like Corey Goff, you think, I've got absolutely no doubt about this, you think, give me the biggest, give me the greatest, give me a name which has been inspiring me to pick up a racket since I was 7 years old. That's when she started playing. It was exactly that. She's on record saying, listen, the Venus sisters are the reason I started playing this sport. Who did she draw? Venus Williams. Now that, in and of itself, is a sensational story. You've got the 15-year-old rookie upstart, 303rd in the world, taking on a 39-year-old legend of not just tennis, but all sport, on the biggest stage of all. Let's bear in mind, Corey Goff, born in 2004. At that point, Venus Williams had won four Grand Slams. Four! She's won five Wimbledons. She's a legend. And did Goff get a little bit scared? Did she get a little bit worried? No. She took the first set, and at that point, the pressure's on already. You know, she's really then, she goes from being the underdog to the world watching and thinking, well, hang on a minute, is this 15-year-old going to do it? The pressure is incredible. She stayed calm. She didn't start playing silly points. She didn't start getting a bit reckless. She kept it tight. And the moment for me when I was watching it and I felt that Venus was really, really rattled was Goff played this gloriously bizarre, really, and slightly audacious, lobbed deep shot right to the baseline. And Venus misjudged it. She reached out for it, ended up sort of stretching, flailing, missed it. And she shot a look, which the camera just caught, which I think must have been to her coach, as if to say, who is this child? Where has this child come from? And where does she keep pulling shots like that from? Of course, Corey Goff held on. She won the game. It was absolutely exceptional. And when we get iconic moments, and make no mistake, this is one of the iconic moments, not just in tennis, because it's the greatest upset, or certainly one of the greatest upsets that tennis has ever seen. It's not just great in Wimbledon terms either. This is great for sport. When we get these iconic sporting moments, there's an image. You know, there's the Muhammad Ali dodge and knockout. There's Alan Shearer with his arm in the air. You expect it to be a moment of high drama. You'd expect it, in this instance, to be the genuinely delightful shot of Goff on the court crying tears of joy within the background, a resigned and disappointed, and it has to be said, very, very humble, modest, sporting Williams looking rather displeased. You'd think it would be that, but it wasn't. The moment for me that made me look at it and think, this is the iconic shot of this incredible tennis match, had nothing to do with the tennis match at all. It was when Goff had wiped the tears away and was walking with incredible strength, incredible maturity, incredible gravitas, really, towards that changing room. And she walked past the ball boys and ball girls who were all applauding her. And they all looked enormous because they're all older, bigger, perhaps even stronger than she was. But she's catapulted herself deservedly to the world stage. She's pretty close to household name status already. When I was 15, a successful Monday night was sitting in my pants playing FIFA. And if I won more than I lost, I think, you know what? World status, Burrow. World status achieved. She's there beating Venus Williams at Wimbledon. Staggering stuff. But rant over. I'm still so excited. And by the way, stay tuned because we're going to have Love Sport's wonderful tennis correspondent, I should say, Roz Sattar on the line from 9:25, giving you a much more expert, but I suspect equally passionate take on an extraordinary evening. But we are also here to talk transfer rumours, and we're talking young talents as well in football as well as tennis. Let's start with Real Madrid, because one thing that the transfer window and the transfer rumour mill sometimes offers up for us is a glorious piece of just rudeness, of arrogance, of bad behaviour. There are iconic moments of this as well. It's not just 15-year-old tennis players. A personal favourite of me is Arsene Wenger. Goes and tries to get Luis Suarez. He approaches Liverpool and says, "Hello, I hear that your Uruguayan star striker's got a 40 million quid release clause. Is that right?" And they go, "No." And he goes, "What do you mean? It's there in his contract. I'm pretty sure I can get him for that money." They go, "No, you've got a bit over 40 million. And Wenger just flexes his muscles and goes, "Fine, 40 million and one English pounds sterling. I'll have him, please." Liverpool, of course, decided to just ignore that and move on. I'm still a bit confused, but there we go. The point there is the cheek, right? It's the just sheer arrogance, sheer cheek of Arsenal. And Real Madrid have pulled out an absolute classic here, right? So in Marco Asensio, they've got one of the great, talented, young attacking midfielders in Europe. This is a kid with an eye for goal, an eye for a creative pass, but an eye for showmanship as well. He's a real box office player. I love to watch him. And Real Madrid approached Liverpool. It's completely unprecedented. They went up to Liverpool and said, "Hello, lads, I've got this incredible footballer. Do you want to sign him?" And Liverpool, you know, slightly confused at first. "Is this a joke?" And I said, "No, do you want to sign him?" And they went, "Well, yeah, of course. Like, thank you. That's such a kind offer." At which point Real Madrid go, "Yeah, great. We'll have Sadio Mane, yeah?" What? That's not how transfer business works. You can't be like, "Right, yeah, you want that really good player." It's like me going up to a very famous, world famous, let's say, celebrity, going up to them and going, "Hi, do you need a spare car?" And then go, "Well, you know what, yeah, I do need one just to run around town in." "Oh, okay, would you like my mum's diesel Polo? 8 years old, only 20,000 miles on the clock." "Oh, yeah, please, that'll be great. Cool, so I'm having your Ferrari there." What? This is not how negotiations work.
Clear, as you've said, there are lots of reasons behind that. But the likelihood of this deal is very dependent on where the two clubs value the player. And we can assume that Arsenal value him around the £40 million mark, maybe slightly more.
Which is what
more.
He should be worth, by the way,
yeah,
40, 50.
I agree. And I was having this debate on social media with somebody earlier. And when you think that if he was to go for over £80 million, he'd be going for more than the likes of Eden Hazard or even Cristiano Ronaldo last season. And I know Ronaldo's at the end of his career, etc. But the commercial value that Ronaldo brings you and the fact he's probably one of the greatest players of all time means I can't get my head around a world where Wilfred Zaha is sold for more money than him. So,
yeah,
you know, that's...
I always look back on that Shevchenko deal when he was 30 mil to Chelsea. And I remember seeing that and thinking, that is a farcical amount of money. And that was for, you know, the world's best striker at the time. Just staggering stuff. Harry, that doesn't sound right to me. Could you see it happening?
No, I can't, if I'm honest. And the reason is, Napoli have splashed out on another defender today, which is Manolas from Roma.
Great sign.
It looks like, yeah, great signing. But, you know, Napoli are going through a little bit of a rebuild. Sarri left, Ancelotti came in, had a first season there where he done very well, because I think we've spoken on this show before where I said to you that, you know, Napoli are punching well above their weight.